Our second reading this morning is, I think, probably familiar. It's from the 13th chapter of Matthew, just the first 9 verses. It is the parable Ellen shared with the kids, one that I think you've probably heard. Whether that's true or not, listen to Jesus' words this morning and listen in them for what God might say to you and to us for our faith, our church, and our life. Matthew records it this way. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by a lake, and such large crowds gathered around him that he got in a boat, and he sat in it while the people stood on the shore, and he told them many things in parables. And he said to them, a sower went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, may we have ears. Let us hear. Let us hear what you say. Let us hear what it means. Let us hear how we are to live. And let us find ways to live that out. For the sake of and in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. So I found a list this week that ranked all of Jesus' parables by popularity. And I don't think it's an official list. I think it's a few people's opinion. But nevertheless, there is such a list. So guess the number one most popular parable of Jesus. This isn't probably surprising. Any thoughts? Somebody say prodigal son. You're right. That's right. Number one. Prodigal son is number one. Good Samaritan is number two. The parable of the talents is number 5. And our parable, the sower and the seed, limps in at number 7. Personally, I would rank it much higher. Maybe not first, but maybe on the right day I would. I'm not sure about that, but it is one of my favorites, and I like it a lot. In my New Testament classes, they taught us that a parable is a story that isn't true about something that is true. So the parables aren't history, they're stories, but there's truth in them. They teach a truth. And when it comes to interpreting the parables, we were taught that a parable really is about one thing. There's one big point in a parable. You should be very careful about looking around in a parable for multiple interpretations and multiple meanings. A parable has one big idea that it's trying to get across. In the case of our parable, it's even easier to interpret than that, because a little bit later in the chapter, Jesus explains it to his disciples. And he says the point of the parable is that it outlines 4 ways that a person can respond to the gospel. Not at all, a little while, a little bit, or completely. And each type of soil represents a way that we can react to Jesus. The hard path, that's hard people. Those with no interest. A couple days ago, I was reading a book written by a pastor, and he talked about going out to dinner with a friend of his. This friend had recently gotten married. His friend wasn't a Christian, but they had been friends a long time. And before dinner, the friend told the pastor, "Look, my wife is less interested than I am in religion. Don't bring up your Jesus stuff. It won't go well." Hard path, hard people. The ground. People who hear the good news, but they don't hear it for long. Trouble comes, and they go away. Maybe they thought that the good news was some kind of guarantee that things would go well. Maybe they thought Jesus was some kind of a good luck charm that promised health, wealth, and prosperity. Whatever they thought, when difficulty comes, discipleship ends. Trouble comes and they go away. The thorns are people who love Jesus but can't seem to love Jesus more than they love other stuff. They love the idea of the good news. They love the sound of forgiveness and the idea of grace. They really do think it's all good stuff. But it doesn't compare with the other good stuff in their life. They love Jesus, but not as much as they love money, possessions, positions, and self. The world chokes out the word, and there's no yield. There's no fruit. And finally, the fourth category, the good soil, where the seed takes root and it grows and it does what none of the other soil does. It produces. It bears fruit, multiplies. And Jesus says it may do this a 60 or a 100-fold. And at that point, the listeners must have known that Jesus isn't talking about farming anymore. In Jesus' day, a return on planting would be 4 to 10 times. That's what you'd expect. In an exceptional year, under exceptional conditions, it might be 15. But 60 to 100-fold return is unimaginable. This is the bridge where Jesus is no longer talking about farming. He's talking about faith. And the simple, profound challenge of the parable, what kind of soil are you? What's happening to the seeds Jesus planted in our hearts? Are they producing? Or are they being taken away or choked out? Is there joy and gratitude of the good news in your life? Is that what's growing in you? Is it bearing fruit? And that's basically, in a nutshell, it. That's essentially what the parable means. And Jesus says, if you have ears, listen. Which also means do. And I could probably stop there. Possibly should stop there. But one of the reasons I love this parable is it does seem to me to have some layers. There's a big point. But I think there might be a couple of others. The parable asks, what kind of soil are you? But once you answer that, I think the parable also asks, what kind of sower are you? A sower went out to sow. I just can't get past the idea that we learn something not just from the soil, but from the sower. In Jesus' day, planting was done in either the spring or the fall. Generally, the ground was prepared first, but not always. Occasionally, the seed was planted first, and then it was plowed into the ground. No farmer, though, that anyone knew simply walked around scattering seed wherever it fell. Rocks, path, thorn. Nobody farmed like that. This is no ordinary sower. To be unconcerned about what the seed costs and where it lands, this is a sower who seems completely willing to put it everywhere and see what happens. To see what might take root. A week ago this morning, about 7 days ago, almost exactly, myself and some of the members of this congregation worshiped at the First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica, Queens, in New York City. In the recent past, the not too distant past, Jamaica, Queens First Press celebrated their 350th anniversary as a congregation. Founded in 1662, they are the oldest continuously serving Presbyterian church in the country. And if First Jamaica Queens sounds somewhat familiar to you, you might be reminded that this is the church in which President Trump was confirmed. Though knowing that, it might not be what you picture. It's an interesting place. It's at the intersection of a couple of different realities that are happening in Queens. It's a neighborhood with a ton of diversity and lots of the typical problems of a city. But right on that line where the church sits, it's meeting a wave of money, a wave of change, a wave of difference in the neighborhood. A block north of the church, there are small shops, bodegas, graffiti, garbage, city. A block south of the church, there's a Starbucks, brand new buildings, big box stores, lots of wealth. The church itself sits right in the middle of that, home to a congregation comprised of probably 15, 20 or more ethnic diversities. People from all over, different languages, different backgrounds. We learned last week that they have a custom in that church when they read the scripture reading, they put it on their screen and they all read it together. And the reason they do that is so that any one person can hear the accents and the languages of the others who are next to them. So if you were listening, and I know it's hard to read and listen at the same time, but if you were listening as they read the scripture, you'd hear accents from the Caribbean, from Asia, from the Ukraine, Russia, and every version of New York City dialect you can imagine. They have a youth house, elder programming, visitations, openness campaigns. They plead the cause of the homeless politically and theologically. They're engaged in prison ministries. They use a screen and a hymnal, a band and an organ. They make use of silence. They also shout and dance. They have good theology and they have loud clapping. They do all of it. And that's in the one morning we were there. They scatter every seed they can. Because to each side of them, they see the alternatives. Drugs to dollars, gangs to greed. On both sides, there's danger right outside their doors. So they are tossing Jesus by the handful in every direction they can, hoping for growth. There's something beautiful in this parable, this picture of a sower who isn't cautious, isn't careful with the seed, doesn't measure it out or care what it costs or where it lands, who gives little thought to the price and where it should go. Just puts it everywhere, hoping it might find a place, hoping that the good news might find a way to take root and bear fruit, even in the strangest and most unexpected places. The sower, whose life simply shares the gospel wherever he or she goes. A sower went out to sow, because that's what sowers do. That's our calling, friends. Once we begin bearing fruit in Christ, we're invited to plant the seeds, to live an invitational life that shares the grace of Christ in the lives of others. A couple of years ago, about this time of year, I think, maybe a little later, our yard was kind of getting to be brown. We found out we had a leak in our sprinkler system. And we don't water a whole lot because I don't love to mow. So if I don't put water on it, I don't have to mow it. And I found out we had a leak by looking out at the backyard, which was mostly greenish or brownish, depending on your perception, except for one little round spot about like that. Lush, green, beautiful, and about a foot taller than everything else. Sure enough, that's where the pipe had been leaking. And that grass was getting watered. Well, what we learn, I think, from the sower is that faith is never a closed system. We are never to live with a self-contained, sealed-up faith that doesn't leak. Our faith our love for Jesus should leak out, should spill out wherever we go. Some of it might grow, some of it might help others grow. But I guarantee you this, this day, this very day, you will have chances to plant seeds in the lives of others. I guarantee that. Which brings us, I think, to the last thing we should touch on with this parable. What kind of seeds do we sow? Jesus' story to the hearers probably seems pretty normal, if a little odd, until we get to the moment where Jesus talks about this incredible harvest. And that's the point that we are to understand. This isn't an agricultural story. This is a kingdom story. Each of us gets a bag full of seeds. And throughout the day, we're invited to plant them. What kind of seeds are you sharing? There are seeds of anger, bitterness, judgment, fear. There are seeds of unhappiness, negativity, complaining, worry. Jesus told another parable where an enemy went into a field and sowed weeds among his neighbor's wheat. Is that ever us? Are we ever guilty of planting the wrong seeds, which then bear the wrong fruit? Today, when you encounter the person that's hard for you to love or the situation that makes you unhappy, today, when you see someone who could use compassion or help or a few moments of your time or some encouragement, when we get there today, what seeds will we reach for? What are we going to plant today? The gracious love of Christ, bearing fruit in us and others, or something else? It's assumed in the parable that the sower sows good seed. Because it's assumed in the parable that the sower is a good sower. Not good at sowing, but good at sowing good. Good news. Hoping it will grow. Willing to put it everywhere in that hope. It is assumed in the parable that the seed we plant will be the seeds first planted in us. Faith, forgiveness, joy, gratitude, and grace. So as we get ready to go from here, as we get ready to go into our field, whatever field that is today, three questions. What kind of soil are you? What's growing in our heart today? Is it Jesus? Or is it something else? What kind of sower are you? Are we sharing Christ generously with what we say and with what we do? And finally, what kind of seeds are you sowing today? What are we planting in the lives of others? And what will grow if it finds a place to take root? Let anyone with ears listen. And let anyone who listens go and do likewise. Amen.